So today, of course, is the celebration of Govardhan Puja. I might also add that it is the appearance day of Rasikananda Prabhu. And I was just thinking of the immense humility of Rasikananda to make his appearance on a day such as this. And he gets overlooked every year. Nobody ever says anything about him. And I also won't be mentioning much of his Leela either, because we have limited time and there's so much Govardhan Leela, but we should acknowledge his effort in the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So, beginning with some very nice prayers to Sri Giriraj Maharaj. Namaste Girirajaya Sri Govardhana Namane Asesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine. My obeisances to the King of the Mountains, who is known as Sri Govardhana. He destroys unlimited obstacles and bestows the highest bliss to the devotees. Oh. It's not on. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Govardhan Giri Tubhyam Gopanam Savarakshaka Namaste Deva Rupaya Devanam Sakadayane. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Giri Govardhan, who is the protector of the Vrajavasis. He is the Lord himself and gives pleasure to all the demigods. Mukam karoti vachanam pangunam jayate girim yakvi padamaham vande shri guru vinkarim. Vancha kapatiru jasrati pasanya vayevacha patitanam pavani vashri. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sivananda Shivasi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. Raghunath Das Goswami, he spent much of his later years living at Radhakund in Govardhan and serving there. And he has written one very nice prayer, Ishushi Govardhan Sampasam Partita Dashakam. We'd like to read the translation from that. His prayers to the abode of his residence. O Govardhan, you became the umbrella which was held by the arm of your own Lord Krishna. In this way, Sri Krishna diminished Indra, the king of the demigods, who was intoxicated by great pride. You are the incomparable king of all big mountains. Please allow me to live close by you. This is a very important point that he opens these prayers with that captures the whole pastime. Pride. And that pride being diminished. As devotees, this is our goal. We're filled with pride. That's why we're here in this material world. That's why we're assuming we are this body, we are this identity, we are this, that, this, that, this, that. Because we're very proud of it. I heard one devotee say to me some time ago, I don't know why they never asked me to play. I'm the best mridanga player there is. Yes, that's exactly why. So this pride was there by Indra. But because he is ultimately the devotee of the Lord, Krishna gave him mercy. Krishna removed that pride. So if we at least, in our proud condition, assume the role, identify ourselves as a devotee, then Krishna will ultimately take care of us. O Govardhan, the young divine couple Sri Sri Radha and Krishna play splendid loving games in your every cave, so I become very eager to see them there. Please allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, in topmost joy, Krishna plays together with Balaram and the cowherd boys in your incomparable jeweled pavilions and thrones, in the hollows of your trees, in your caves, and in your valleys. Please allow me to live close by you. I've always had a bit of an affinity for these caves on Govardhan. I remember one time, where are they? Hear all about the caves. So I asked one local sadhu, he said, all these caves have been in these caves. He said, yes. I said, but you never see them. He said, yes, they're all on the top. So I knew I was never see the insides of these caves. Because as followers of Mahaprabhu, we don't go there. O Govardhan, you are the witness of Radha and Krishna's tax game, in which Krishna charges a tax from the ghee the gopis are carrying on their heads, which is an ocean of melons. You increase the joy of the mellows of the devotees with your display of bluish platforms that are full of splendor and fragrance. Please allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, you affectionately and secretly embrace the neck of your dear friend Sri Radha Kund, the place which is very dear to you and Lord Hari. Please allow me to live close by you and show me these intimate pastimes with the divine loving couple. O Govardhan, you make your name, keeper of cows, successfully, constantly giving land, water, grass, and the shade of your trees to the cows, and thus you are famous in the three worlds. Please allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, your glories are increased by the enemy of Agasura and Bakasura, Sri Krishna, when he protected the Brajabasis and vanquished Indra by quickly using you as their new shelter from the rain. Please allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, King of the Mountains, because the nectar of your name, as you are called, because the nectar of your name as Hari's best servant emanated from Sri Radha's pearl-like mouth, you are called the new Tilak of Braj because of your long, thin, bluish shape on the edge of Braj. Please allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, you are the only giver of joy to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and their associates. They are always surrounded by the people, animals, and birds in Braj in a mood of friendship. Please mercifully accept me and allow me to live close by you. O Govardhan, although I am vile and deceitful, the causeless, merciful Sri Satchinandana submitted me to you. Therefore, do not consider whether I am qualified or unqualified. Just accept me. Please allow me to live close by you. This particular conclusion on his dasakam is important because although we know Raghunath Das Goswami is not a vile and deceitful person, but this is the mood of the acharyas, always thinking of themselves in this low manner. And he thinks of himself like that and openly admits that the only reason that he is where he is, the only qualification he has, is by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this should also be our thoughts, that we're not qualified. Here he says, whether I'm qualified or unqualified, okay, there may be some questions. Raghunath Das, okay, maybe he is, maybe he's not. In our case, there's no question. We are not. None of us. So that prayer of being unqualified, except by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and therefore asking, even though I have so many bad qualities, please accept me, mercifully accept me. Not just accept me, but mercifully accept me. And the Shutipala. Anyone who carefully listens or recites these 10 verses praising the King of Mountains, Sri Govardhan, which are the givers of divine mellows, will swiftly attain a place to live close by Govardhan, who is the bestower of bliss, and that person will attain the precious jewel of the auspicious loving service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. All you have to do is hear them. Swiftly you will attain shelter at Govardhan. Of course, Govardhan is manifested on our altar today, and he's quite large, and he can give shelter to all of us. It is no, oh, he's not so big. He can't help us out. He's very important. We also have the Sri Govardhan Astakam. Astakam, of course, 8 prayers. May Govardhan Hill, which by Krishna's mercy became the king of all mountains and received the respectful tribute of its archenemy Indra, fulfill all my desires. Here we also see the opening prayer is pointing out Indra's shortcoming, but his ultimate deliverance. As it was held above the earth, Govardhan Hill became so filled with happiness by experiencing the softness of its beloved Krishna's lotus hand, it did not even know it was being struck by Indra's thunderbolts. May Govardhan Hill fulfill all my desires. This is exactly the mood of a devotee in devotional service. That even so many difficulties and obstacles and disturbances may come, I don't notice anything. I'm simply engaged in serving the Lord. This is how we should think. Trying to collect the toll, Krishna quarreled there with King Vrishabhanu's daughter. The personified Vedas yearn to listen to that core. May Govardhan Hill fulfill my desires. Everyone wants to hear the Vedas. Everyone wants to be a Vedantist reciter. All the verses, all the, you know, different shastras. And but the Vedas themselves, they simply want to hear this quarreling pastime between Rama and Krishna. Bathing in a nearby lake, the elephant of a pleasant breeze, covered with the pollen of kadamba and other flowers, gracefully plays there. May Govardhan Hill fulfill my desires. How is it that the sweet fragrance of the musk deer and the various natural scents there make the Lord so calm and relaxed? May Govardhan Hill fulfill all my desires. Searching there for Lord Hari on the path of his flute music, the astonished deer do not find him. They go over that hill, fulfill all my desires. As the divine couple traveled on the Ganges, there, out in the Ganges there, the boat began to sink in the middle. Krishna was splendidly handsome as Radha clung to his neck. May Govardhan Hill fulfill my desires. Without taking shelter at the lotus feet of the hill that is best known as Lord Hari's servant and is full of love for the divine king and queen, how is it possible to attain devotional service? May Govardhan Hill fulfill all my desires. And there should be follow here. May the reader and listener of these eight verses, glorifying Lord Hari's greatest servant, their heart melting with pure love, quickly obtain direct service to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Madhava. So our acharyas have spent great amount of their time appreciating and glorifying Govardhan Hill. And this is something that we should take as an indication, that we should also spend our time thinking of Govardhan Hill, glorifying Govardhan Hill, appreciating Govardhan Hill, serving Govardhan Hill, trying to figure out ways to always be connected to Govardhan Hill. We know that the nature of the material world is that it is a dim reflection of the spiritual world. Everything we have here is due to what is there. There's that famous verse in painting from the Bhagavad Gita that shows the banyan tree, which roots one direction opposite of what we would think and flowers in the other direction. So this is the nature of this world. It exists only because of the fact that the spiritual world exists. And everything here has its existence due to the fact that it has a existence, a contemporary one might say, in the spiritual. Similarly, the pastimes of Govardhan Hill also have their presence both in Gokula and Goloka, in both worlds. The nature of these spiritual leelas is that they have no beginning and end. There is no point at which they come into existence. But for the sake of leela, these things appear. It looks like there's a beginning and an end, but these pastimes are eternal. Now, in attempting to describe this nature of Govardhan Hill, it's nice to take a verse from those that were very close and those that were there. This is it's spoken by Sunanda Maharaj, who was the younger brother of Nanda Maharaj. Namo Vrindavan Nayaka Tubhyam Goloka Maurine Purna Brahma Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha. Obeisances to you who are the crown of Goloka and who sit in Vrindavan's lap. Obeisances to Govardhan, the parasol of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the existence of Govardhan as the parasol of the Lord, as the shelter of the Vrajabhasis, is a pastime that takes place here in this world. But there is a pastime of his activities and appearance in the spiritual world that is also relevant. The nature of his appearance is much more divine. So it's explained that Radha and Krishna were sitting with the gopis in a beautiful flower bower. A grove of trees that joined together and formed such a canopy and surrounding area that it was a bit secluded. And these trees were filled with various types of flowers. And interesting, of course, the nature of the spiritual world is not like here. Your champa tree only gives that kind of flower. Your Vajata tree only gives that kind of flower. But there, all the different trees, they're Chintamani. They give all the different types of flowers. You can get roses from a, you know, jasmine tree. So all of these different types of flowers and all of these beautiful scents were there. Additionally, the pastimes are not simply limited to one type of decoration. Just as we see here on our altar, there are unlimited different types of decorations. But we can imagine the same as here. It's described that this beautiful flower bower also was decorated with many colored umbrellas. Umbrellas of different sizes and different colors and different ornaments. And the flowers were also woven into different awnings, floral awnings. And there were multicolored strands of pearls, pearls of multicolors, strung from these different floral awnings. And in the background, surrounding this, was a very wonderful musical entourage. And gopis playing mridangas, gopis playing flutes, gopis singing songs, all of them creating a wonderful musical atmosphere of pleasantness. In this environment of great pleasure and happiness and satisfaction, Sri Radha very lovingly looked at her beloved Krishna. And she said, if you are pleased with me, and if you're pleased with my love for you, and if you're pleased with the pastimes that we have, then I have one desire to ask of you that's been burning in my heart for a very long time. What do we think Krishna said? Now, I'm a little busy right now. I can't be bothered. Could you get back to me tomorrow on this? No, this wasn't his mood. Krishna is the eternal, loving reciprocant in his relationship with Radha. He said, yes, yes, at once, in an instant. What is that desire? And I shall fulfill it, anything you want. And Sri Radha whispered into Krishna's ear, please find a place in this vast forest of Vrindavan by the bank of the Jamuna that is very beautiful and create there a place where we can hold our pastimes without any interruptions. So Krishna closed his eyes, began to meditate a bit. And this feeling of love manifested in his heart, which in turn manifested into tears in his eyes, which in turn manifested to a particular golden tear. And this fell onto the ground. And as soon as it fell to the ground, it transformed itself into a beautiful mountain. Now, of course, this is no ordinary mountain. I mean, aside from the fact this is a spiritual world, aside from the fact this is filling the desires of Radharani, aside from the fact this falling from Krishna's own body, there were beautiful crystal clear lakes on it, so many running streams of fresh water that actually had fragrance. Beautiful effulgent caves. The caves of this world, of course, they're always very dark. In my high school days, I was a spelunker, those of you that know that word. But you always have to take a lamp because it's dark in the caves. You can't see anything. If the lamp goes out, complete darkness. But these caves are not like that. They were illuminated and filled with gems that were self-manifested light. And there were many varieties of different types of flowering trees and creepers of every type of fragrant flower one could imagine and those one couldn't imagine. And an unlimited collection of birds of many bright colors. Many, many different colors. And all singing a variety of selected songs. So at the sight of this beautiful mountain, Krishna even amazed himself at this one. He said, oh, just see how my love is manifested for you. Now, within a very short moment or two, this hill expanded into 100 golden peaks. And each one of these golden peaks defeated the Lord's own palaces in Vaikuntha. Now, such a big mountain, it didn't go unnoticed. All the Brijbasis saw this effulgent mountain, they were just simply amazed, simply touched. It's incredible. The elder cowherd men looked at it and they said, oh, we shall call it Govardhan, because it is a suitable shelter for the cows, and it is filled with many desired trees. Of course, go means cows, and vardan means to nourish, so to nourish the cows. And one special feature of this Govardhan hill was the types of grass that were there. They were very soft and tender grasses, so that when the cows ate them, their tongues did not become cut by the sharp edges. And grass is very tasty. And different types of grass would produce different flavors of milk. Now the very elderly gopis, they said, let us call this mountain Satashringa. This means a mountain with a beautiful 100 golden peaks. So everyone was very amazed, but this wasn't the end. Govardhan began to expand and to expand and to expand even more and even more. And this was due to Govardhan's being the manifestation of Krishna's love for Sri Radha. And that love has no limit. So therefore, Govardhan kept expanding and expanding and taking up all of Gokul. And everything was being pushed to the sides. Govardhan was bigger, bigger. Now, while the residents in the beginning very much appreciated the manifestation of this wonderful hill, now they're becoming a bit concerned, a little bit disturbed by this. You know, just like how someone who has a very big false ego, they come into the room and everything else gets pushed to the side. Sometimes you have to say, Prabhu, can you dial it back a notch? You know? So Krishna saw this as happening, and he thought to himself, okay, I have created the situation, so I have to correct it. So he got up, he walked over to Govardhan, gave him a good slap. Govardhan's senses went back, and Govardhan shrunk down to a normal mountain size. And then Krishna actually chastised Govardhan. He said, why, Govardhan, are you expanding to such a size without considering the feelings and the needs of others who live here? This is an important lesson to us, that what we're doing should take into account how what we're doing will impact the feelings and the needs of others that are around us. So after this exchange, and Govardhan settled to an appropriate mountain size, then Radha and Krishna walked hand in hand to Govardhan and became lost in their various pastimes there. So this is Govardhan's appearance in that one. We also have a discussion about the appearance of Govardhan in this realm, the one that we currently share. And this was actually, interestingly enough, discussed by Pandu and Bhishmadev. So even great personalities from the Mahabharata, who we generally don't associate with Braj Leela, even they are knowledgeable of these pastimes of the Lord and discuss them. So one time, Krishna was in Goloka Vrindavan and said to Srimati Radharani, you know, I need to go to the material world. Will you come with me? She said, what? How can I go anywhere where there are not three things present? The Vrindavan forest, River Jamuna, and Govardhan Hill. And Krishna replied with a smile, oh, don't worry. I've already arranged for them to make their appearance before me. These three places are very important to Srimati Radharani for the pastimes that she enjoys in Braj. And this is the nature of Krishna's own appearance, is that others come before him to set the stage. So we have the seven islands of Bhumandala. And on one of those islands, Salma Ludwig, there is a Samali tree. And this area there is the home, the residence of Garuda. Now, in the middle of that particular island that Garuda lives on, there is the great mountain. Its name is Dronachala. And Dronachala is a very, very big mountain, king of the mountains. And he and his wife, they had one child. And that child was Govardhan. Now, even though in Vrindavan, Govardhan is very, very large, for the sake of this particular part of his pastime, he appeared as a smaller mountain. So, after the appearance of Govardhan from Dronachala, his wife, all the other appropriate mountains came to offer their homage. Himalayas personified, Mount Sumeru. They offered their obeisances and circumambulated Govardhan. This is the origin of the Govardhan circumambulation. They were the first ones to do it. They were worshiping him and offering different various prayers and giving different blessings and praising him as the personal mountain of the Lord and soon to be the king of all mountains. So in this way, giving all of this discussion. Now, description of Govardhan is given by Baladev Vidyabhushan, who describes Giriraj as a multicolored rainbow. And the reason this explanation is given is because all the stones on Govardhan are of various different colors. And if you go to Govardhan and circumambulate, and with a discerning eye, you'll see that there's every color of the rainbow of stone there. White ones, blue ones, black ones, brown ones, green ones, pink ones, yellow ones, so many different colors. And these are all the reservoir of the holy places. And so many different, every five steps you take, Govardhan Hill, there's another Leelastan, another place where some pastime of Krishna, cowherd girls, of Krishna, and the cowherd boys, Krishna, and the cows, there are, you know, so many different wonderful places, pastimes we've taken there. So we find that this is a very, very nice understanding of Govardhan there. But how did Govardhan get from this mountain range to Vrindavan? Well, there's the great sage Pulastya Muni. Of course, by the fact that his name is Muni, it means two things. Three things. Very, very renounced. Very, very able to give benedictions. And usually very short-tempered. We see that these Munis, you know, Durvasa is the famous one for this, but we're not talking about Durvasa today. So the Pulastya didn't have any mountains to speak in his ashram. And mountains are very good if you have an ashram. They give shelter, they give water, rainfall, you know, things like this. Here in Florida, it's like that. We don't have any mountains. Sometimes, you know, somebody from up north will be visiting and say, oh yeah, that hill over there. They go, what, that's a hill? You know, it's just a little bump in the road, you know. So here in Florida, we don't have these. So Pulastya had that kind of scenario. So anyway, he was traveling, and he happened to be in Dronachala's kingdom, looking for a mountain, so to speak. And he approached Dronachala after having darshan Govardhan. He said, such a wonderful mountain. You please give me your son Govardhan to come to my ashram and stay with me. As we hear this scenario repeated in many different leelas, Dronachala couldn't fathom the idea. How possibly to give up his son, even for the sake of a sage? He didn't, no, you take me instead. You're an old mountain. What are you going to do? You know, no, please, you give me your son. He was politely resisting. And then that side of the Muni, Pulastya, manifested. So, you won't fulfill my desire? I shall reduce you to a pile of rubbles. You think you are a king? You will be a pile of gravel in no time. Now, it is the duty of every son to protect his father. to do different services for the father and go over down step four. Said, no, 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 please don't curse my father. I will go with you. Father, it is okay. I will go with him. Better that than you is cursed. So somehow it was agreed upon. But Govardhan placed condition. He said, how will you get me there? And great morning, I can just lift you. All right, you can lift me and take me. But the condition is that wherever you set me down, I will not go any further than that place. Set you down. I'm big, strong money. What do I have to worry about setting you down for? So the agreement was made. Pulastri Muni reached under, lifted over down. Now this is told two different sides. One is that, of course, Govardhan became as light as a feather by his own mystic powers and was able to fly in the sky. The other is that Pulastri Muni actually was able to lift him. Both can be accepted. Both have their impact into the storyline. So in this way, they're traveling over the land of Bhartasvarsha. And as they come over aerially, you know, you can imagine an aerial view, Vrindavan. Govardhan, of course, is aware that the pastimes of Krishna will take place here, and I will be an integral part of those pastimes. Here again, the story evolves into two storylines. One being that, therefore, Krishna, Govardhan made himself very, very heavy. He reduced that feather-like potency and became very heavy, and the Muni had to set him down. The other is that the Muni had to deal with the being, having a material body, had to deal with the call of nature, set him down. Both are told, both are part of the story. So, Pulastri Muni then returned to Govardhan. Okay, let's go. Went to lift again, and Govardhan's not going anywhere. Now, it's interesting, Pulastri Muni, we know the curse, but that didn't happen right off. He tried to cajole him a bit. Oh, my dear mountain, don't be so difficult. You know, please just, you know, make yourself light and let's get on our way. We've still got some ways to go. Govardhan said, no. We had an agreement. You set me down. No, but that was just, no, that was our arrangement. You set me down. I'm not going anywhere. And then Pulastri became angry. You contemptible mountain. You think this and that. I'm going to curse you that you will sink. You think you're such a prominent mountain, so important, you will sink by a mustard seed every day. Govardhan accepted that. Yes, all right, fine. Have a nice trip. Out the door with you. And there Govardhan waited, knowing the pastimes of Krishna were soon to come. They hadn't arrived yet. Matter of fact, even before pastimes of Krishna, there would be the pastimes of Ramchandra taking place on the planet. We know the story that Ramchandra brought all the varnas and monkeys and everyone there to the southern part of India to build the bridge. All right, gather all the rocks. And Hanuman, of course, wanted to get the biggest rock, so he's flying everywhere looking. He sees this Govardhan. And he thinks, oh, this Govardhan will be such a, if I can bring him back, we won't need any more. So he goes to lift Govardhan. Hanuman, of course, is the king of the monkeys, the most powerful, has great abilities, but he can't lift Govardhan. Govardhan is not being lifted. So he gets down to look, where is it connected? He goes all around looking, where is it connected? Where is it connected? Where is it connected? He can't find. So he begins to think, this is not some ordinary mountain. This must be a great personality. So he begins to offer various prayers. And then there's an exchange between Govardhan and Hanuman as to what the purpose is that Hanuman wants him for. And Govardhan's very happy because he wants to take part in the Lord's pastimes. And as they're coming to the conclusion of their agreement, the celestial conch shell sounds throughout the universe. And this indicates that the bridge is built, all the monkeys assemble, we're going to attack one guy. So Hanuman says, oh, we don't really need you, sorry. I got to go join Ram, we're getting ready to fight. And Govardhan's very disappointed by this. He actually begins to cry. So Hanuman goes to join Rama and says to Rama, you know, this is big hill, Govardhan. He really wants to be a part of the pastimes, and we've already got the bridge built. And Ram smiles and says, you go back and tell him that in the future I will come and I will enjoy all of my pastimes on his hills and slopes. So this is the reassurance that Govardhan gets. This is the anticipation that awaits Govardhan. And then, of course, we know the whole rest of the Leela so well. My wife was listening to Prabhupada's recitation of it. You know, there's that wonderful recitation series of Prabhupada reading Krishna book. And he's reading this particular pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And at the end she said, oh, it was so short. I was hoping it would be much longer. Fortunately, this pastime, Govardhan Hill, is an eternal pastime. It's nicely described in the Gopalchampu, Jiva Goswami, that when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, went to a cave, and from the middle of the hill, he raised the hill up. And of course, we've told the story many times that when he raised the hill, it wasn't as if it was like you take a shovel into the ground and lift up a pile of dirt, and it's all kinds of bare roots, and you know, if it's raining, there's all kinds of mud and water and all. But that there was a very, very wonderful arrangement underneath there. Krishna held the hill up and said, oh, my residents, come underneath for your protection. And when they came in, they saw just wonderful arrangements that were made there. There were all types of residences and stockpiles of grains and plenty of grass and water for all the cows and houses equipped with furniture and bedsteads. And, you know, there's actually a whole village underneath the hill. And in this way, the residents were able to stay there for 7 days with no inconvenience, no difficulty. It mentions that while Krishna held the hill with his little finger on his left hand, that they effortlessly enjoyed dancing and merrymaking, and no difficulty was incurred by them at all of being underneath there. Of course, we know that the residents, particularly Mother Soda, became very concerned. Krishna's holding this hill up. Very difficult for him. The cowherd boys offered to massage his arm, you know. Mato Mongo is like, he's keeping it up by the strength of my vows. I have, you know, given him them, you know. All the other cowherd boys have got their sticks there. And then there's that one very nice pastime where Krishna happens to be looking at the gopis and he becomes a little overwhelmed with his love for them. And little ecstasy, he shudders a bit and the hill shakes a little bit. All the cowherd boys are scared and they all hold their sticks up and everybody thinks that. There's so many very sweet pastimes like this taking place underneath Govardhan Hill. This is just what's going on underneath Govardhan Hill. You know, it's described that he looked like a diamond, a dazzling diamond house that was a blue with a blue pillar in it, holding up Govardhan Hill in the middle, as if it were the roof, and the rain was falling all around, just like a pearl necklace. Now, it's an interesting description given that when all of this rain and water was striking over downhill, Vasuki, the celestial snake, wrapped himself around the base of the hill so that this water wouldn't cause any inconvenience to the Brijvasis. And that this buildup of water was then dissipated by Sudarshan, whose rays evaporated all that water. Very, very amazing pastime. Now, there are many, many different places on Govardhan Hill with unlimited pastimes. We're coming to an end here because we have an Abhishek coming right up. But one of my favorite takes place at Brahmakund, which is right near Manasi Ganga. So Manasi Ganga, of course, was the celestial Ganga River, and when she manifested, she came on her carrier, and of course Mother Ganga's carrier is a crocodile. Not a gator, crocodile. There is the difference. So, and they say in Manasi Ganga still today you can occasionally see a crocodile there. I've never seen it, but they say you can. So at any rate, the cowherd boys used to daily stop at Manasi Ganga and take their lunch. And they would enjoy taking their lunch very, very much. Just playful pastimes. And then afterwards, they would rinse their hands. But they didn't want to rinse their hands in Manasi Ganga because it was considered sacred. So they would go across the street to this kund. That kund is still there in a very, you know, minor form. But they would go across the street to this kund. And they would then rinse their hands there. Now, this place is called Brahma Kund. Now, Brahma noticed that Krishna is going every day and rinsing his hands there. Of course, after having stolen the cows and the calves, Brahma was not, you know, most appreciated. And he was always feeling very despondent that, you know, he defended Krishna. Well, could he ever get Krishna's mercy? You know, and Krishna wasn't exactly reaching out to him, you can say. So, Brahma devised this plan that if I can get some of the nectar from Krishna's hands, some of those prasadam bits, you know how when you eat rice and fruits and this is and that, so you get a little food on your hands so you rinse it off, then I will get his mercy and be forgiven. So, he arranged to take the form of a fish. Fish in Brahma Kund, so that when the cowherd boys came over to rinse their hands, then that particles would be in the water and the fish would be able to come and eat those particles. Direct Mahaprasad. The only problem was he's Brahma. Brahma's got four heads. So the fish had four heads. A four-headed fish is not a common occurrence. So when Krishna walked across that little path there to Brahma Kund to rinse his hands, he put his hand, went to put his hands into the water, and as he did, Brahma, the fish, came to eat the particles. But she looked down, it's a four-headed fish. This is quite a surprising thing, not very attractive. So he pulled his hand back, and I'm not going to rinse my hand in this place. He went back to Manasi Ganga and took the water out and rinsed his hand to the side. So Brahma was thwarted in his efforts to get that nectar, even in this circumstance. Will, boy, as I say, there's so many pastimes that you can tell. There is one nice pastime with Nityananda when he was residing. Let me see if I can remember that exactly. I also have. Yeah. So Nityananda was staying in this area, the Brahma Kund. And there was a Brahmin living there who was a great devotee of Balaram. He was a very stout individual. And he would go circumambulating around, every day, chanting the name of Balaram. We saw this recently, a couple of years ago. There was this one devotee. He would... very big, tall man. And he would, very long strides, he was going around Govardhan chanting the name of Radharani. And we were reminded of this pastime. So, anyway, he was always doing this seva for Balaram. So, one evening, he had a dream. And he, in this dream, was told that very soon you will have the darshan of Lord Balaram, your Ishtadev. So, do not worry. So, that next day, he happened to be at Brahma Kund, and he saw there was Nityananda. And Nityananda, it's described, was effulgent as a million suns. And he thought, oh, this is a great sadhu. This is a great sadhu. We should, I should welcome him properly. So he offered him various things, some yogurt, some milk, some cheese, some butter, things like this. And he brought those to Nityananda as an offering. And then he said, oh, my dear Avadhuta, you please accept these offerings and kindly show your mercy to me so that I may soon get the darshan of my beloved Rohini Nandana. So Nixon smiled at hearing these words, knowing well who it was. And he thought he would have some fun. He said, yes, 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 yes. So then he finished, and the Brahmin took those remnants that were left. And with those remnants, he then went back to his residence there in the town of Govardhan. And he took that mahaprasadam. And when he ate that mahaprasadam, he felt an immediate agitation of love for God. And this prevented him from being able to sleep very well. And as a result, he was not able to timely go and meet Nityananda again to inquire from him. So he finally fell asleep that evening. And he had a dream. And Nityananda appeared to him in that dream and told him, he said, I'm very pleased with you. And then in that dream, Nityananda revealed himself to the Brahmin to be non-different than Lord Balaram. And that Brahmin fell at the feet of Lord Balaram in great astonishment. And he felt so happy that Balaram had revealed himself just as his previous dream had indicated to him. Now, he noticed that the limbs of Lord Balaram in this dream were all glittering with various types of golden ornaments. Golden bangles, golden armlets, golden this, golden that. And afterwards, he was very, very amazed by this. So the Lord Balaram gave his blessings in the dream to the Brahmin, and then he disappeared and the Brahmin awoke. Now, he prepared at this point to try and go and see Nityananda again, where he had met him. And he was able to go the next morning. And he fell at the feet of Nityananda. And he said, you gave me the blessings and I've seen Balaram. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so very much. I want to surrender everything to him. And so, in his ecstasy of offering obeisances, he hadn't noticed, but when he looked up, he saw that Nityananda was decorated with many different types of golden bangles. And they were the same ones as in his dream. And he said to the Brahmin, the Brahmin said to Nityananda, how have you gotten all these jeweled ornaments? And he smiled. He said, oh, you don't remember? You've given them all to me. And then the Brahmin was able to understand that this was non-different. Nityananda was non-different than Lord Balaram. So he inquired from him, how may I serve you? So Nityananda reached down and picked up one Govardhan Shila and gave it to him. He said, you have this Govardhan Shila placed in a gold bang, a gold necklace, and you give that to me. So he arranged like that and was able to give that necklace to Nityananda, and Nityananda wore that. Now, he did forbid the Brahmin from telling this pastime to anyone, but of course, as is common with all of these different pastimes, they do get around in the Shastras. So I was thinking how nice it would be to find out where that Govardhan Shila is, to get that darshan, maybe do some worship. But at any rate, we'll finish there. They've got everything set up for the Abhishek of Sri Giridhari Lal. And thank all of you for giving me this opportunity to speak about Govardhan. We could go on for, as Dina Bandhu says, for hours and hours, but it's not possible. Thank you very much. Giri Govardhan Ki Jai.